Welcome to Ageless Health with Dr. Tom Roszell. You know, we're doing this program on an ongoing basis to give you the most immediate and impactful information that we can possibly give you on what's happening relative to health and health on multiple levels. We're going to talk about a program and or an issue, something that's going on that many of you might not be aware of, particularly if you're not living in the suburbs of Washington metropolitan area in Virginia, particularly Loudoun County. It's been all over the news. It's been on every media that you can possibly think of. And we're going to touch upon that because it impacts our legacy. And what I'm talking about is our children and their suffering. You know, the last 20 months or so have not been great for any of our children, any of our kids. And we're looking at depressions. We're looking at suicides. We're looking at kids disengaging and becoming something other than what we want them to be, and we can't figure out how to support them. I've been very fortunate that my family has been very engaged in making sure that information becomes public, because we're being, I won't use the term duped, but that's really unfair, but we're being manipulated and we're being set aside relative to what is taking place. We're being told that, you know, vaccines are important because we have to protect each other. We're being told that we have to isolate because, you know, God forbid somebody comes up with something. We're being told that, you know, all these things, the booster shots and, oh my God, the variants are coming up. They are impactful. But the problem is what they are impacting is not only us as adults, but they're impacting our children and they're devastating our children. And we're seeing depressions and we're seeing suicides and we're seeing disconnects and we're seeing kids doing things that we normally wouldn't expect. Having said that, I want to introduce somebody that is very close and dear to my heart, but somebody who's extremely proactive, and she probably can't help herself because she grew up in this family. But nevertheless, it's someone who has really taken a stance. She's been on network television. She's been quoted extensively. She's become a person who is not willing to sit still and getting the information out. And as much as, you know, I said to myself, you know, do I really want to have my daughter on this program? The short answer was, I don't know anybody better that is ingrained in the trenches, working at this and making a difference. Erin, welcome. This is Erin Roszell Poe, and she lives in Loudoun County, and she is a force to be reckoned with. She is someone that the state knows, the county knows, and oh my God, look out if she has her way. Erin, welcome.
Thanks for having me on today, Dad. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate you bringing even more light to the situation that's happening out here. I mean, as you said, unless you've kind of been living in a little cave, you've heard Loudoun County in the news nationally, and unfortunately, we are ground zero at this point. It just keeps getting worse out here.
Whatever happens in Loudoun, and this is what I want our audience to understand, is going to happen nationwide. The focus is on Loudoun County. And, you know, everything from critical race theory and the manipulation that's going on in the school systems, the pushaways that they have relative to sports and engagements and kids engaging with their teachers in school, across the board, these kids are suffering, and they're suffering significantly to the place where we've seen things happen to our children that we couldn't even believe that was imaginable 2, 3, 4 years ago. And now we're seeing them, and we're seeing kids that should soar and they're not. And if they don't have a parent that is home with them and can educate them and take them into a prosperous philosophical basis that will, you know, give them a foundation, they're in trouble. And we're talking about 99% of the people. There's not a lot of people that can do that. You're engaged. You're in this war. You are intimate in making sure that the public understands what's going on. Let's talk through this. Let's start with, you know, roll the clock back and, you know, what's taking place? Why all of this? What do you see is taking place? Is it manipulation? Is it control? Or is it just the end result of something that we have no ability to understand?
It's definitely manipulation. It's control. It's about seeing how far basically these politicians who are our superintendent and our school board members and even the members in Richmond will push families. I mean, we've been coined domestic terrorists at this point, parents.
Wow.
But let's roll it back. This all started 20 months ago. I never thought that this would be the fight that I was in. But I mean, you know this. I've got two kids with some learning issues, and they were home, they were quarantined and unable to have their services be provided to them. And so I led the rallies in terms of getting our schools open. And that's how this whole thing started. And, you know, it was a blessing and a curse, is what I keep telling myself, a blessing and a curse, because yes, they were home and they missed the social aspect that all children need at this age. However, this cued parents into really what was being thrown at their kids. This was like, this was the blessing. We got to see firsthand and see teachers say certain words, hear certain phrases. All of a sudden, because of this, because of us wanting our kids back into the brick and mortar setting, teachers were starting to send us information. I remember the first document I got from a teacher that it had two columns. One was in pink and one was in green. And it literally listed, are you privileged or, you know, are you being, I don't even know how the word for it, but in the privilege category, you're looking at stuff that had like, if you're a Christian, if you're a heterosexual, if you're white, if you come from a dual family, so a mother and a father, all of these were listed as privileges. If you're thin, obesity was listed as basically something that you would be judged about. So it literally opened all of our eyes like, wait a second, why are teachers being asked these questions?
You know, it's absolutely crazy that they're being asked the question, Aaron, but they're being directed to do this. And so behind the scenes, there's this manipulation that's going on saying you have to do X, Y, and Z. What people don't understand is that teachers are pushing away from this. There's some that are buying into it. There's some that are part of this far left agenda that is about the critical race theory, if you will. Yeah. You know, our family, we're first generation to this country. And, you know, we grew up with having to work for everything that we've got. We put in that we're proud of who we've become. You've soared, you've done well. You know, obviously I've set a standard for, you know, all of us and moving that forward, but we've lost that. It's like, we have to give now to them. We have to feel badly that we've achieved. We have to, but it's the impact is, you know, this COVID isolationism,
right?
This critical race, you're a bad person simply because you were born into a family that actually encouraged you and allowed you to look at options and opportunities and so forth. And then we go to the other place and, you know, there's this push for inclusion across the board in transgenderism. And I'm saying, okay, I get it that there's, you know, there's a shift there, but when you start shoving things down my throat and telling me that I have to acquiesce, that I have to accept, you know, when I grew up, you know, we had boys clubs and girls clubs, and we had, I went to college and we had fraternities and we had sororities. And it was a time for men and women to get to know themselves, because God forbid, you know, if you didn't have a good foundation as a woman, you didn't have a good foundation as a man, how could you interchange and integrate with another being on the planet? But we set that aside now, and we see in Loudoun County, this has gone to the extreme. Everything that was being predicted, a boy who is transgendered, who says he's a girl, now rapes two girls. This is not okay. What's going on?
So let's back up a little bit. So everything that you just tapped on really is coming from the over $1 billion grant that was funded, if you will, from the Virginia Department of Education, American Rescue Plan Act, Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief funding. Okay. We're talking over $1 billion allocated to the state of Virginia. Just here in Loudoun County, there is over $10 million allocated to this funding. And this funding only a percentage, 20% really has to go towards education. Last I checked, that was the main reason why we sent our kids to school, was to educate them, reading, writing, arithmetic, make them competitive in the functioning society. However, the rest of that money has been allocated into the county where we have teacher training for equity. I mean, back in 2020, there was teacher training with a guest speaker by a lady whose name is Benita Love. And her whole push was to show the inequities that we've grown up with, okay, to basically remove the concept of being colorblind. So within that, and this is all on the Virginia VDOE's website, and it's very interesting because it's done in, if you will, rainbows and unicorns, where it's set up in little hearts, okay? And at the heart of this, you have equity, 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 equity. So what they've done here in Loudoun, as well actually over in Fairfax County, is they've removed like class ranking. We don't have class rank anymore because it's not equitable. It's not equal. It's not fair. We've taken away...
Life is not fair.
We've taken away the high standards of getting into Thomas Jefferson High School, that competitive thing. Now it's a lottery system to make it more equitable. Okay. That is the focus out here. It's no longer about hard work. It's no longer about persevering through the difficult times and soaring and earning those grades. It is about lowering the standard across the board, lowering the ability to take advanced placement math classes, and making everything fair and equal across the board, because we have to be equitable. The concept of starting from nothing and working your way and building a practice or a life for yourself now coins you as privileged.
That whole thought process is a privileged thought process.
Yeah. So basically what you've done your whole life, it's a privilege where you've worked and worked the blood, sweat and tears. You are now privileged for doing that.
You know, my parents came over, you know, through Ellis Island, and I grew up as a first generation person from immigrant parents, and they worked and they didn't ask anything from anybody. And even though that I was engaged in sports and so forth, if I wanted anything, I had to go out. I had to go mow lawns. I had to go dig ditches. I had to do all those things. That seems to be a lost concept on this culture. For some reason, it's set aside. Well, I want to ask you a question. We'll roll it back a little bit.
Sure.
$1 billion that is set aside for, and three quarters of it being, in my opinion, manipulation. Where did that money come from?
So that is grant money that has basically rolled down from, as we see it, and it was interesting. I was just given this information recently. It's coming down from the Biden administration. It's CARES Act money. CDC is involved. It basically creates the best way to describe it is like you've got this chunk of money at the top and you've got all these little columns falling down underneath it. And so underneath that, you have the ability to fund your transgender policies. You know, that's what we had. It rolled out here in Richmond. It's basically their gender fluid law is what was passed in Richmond. How that transitioned into Loudoun County is the 80-40 policy. So there was money basically given from that. Then you've got your critical race theory, or your not critical race theory is what you keep hearing. You have the equity programs, you know, the ed equity specifically. That's come down from that. Then you have all your COVID relief pieces. So that's your testing. That is your vaccinations, your masking, all of that is within this grant money. And basically counties across the state have it started back in March of 2021. They have until the year 2024 to spend this money, turn in their receipts and get reimbursed. So basically the counties are being paid to implement COVID protocols, critical race theory, transgender policies with just a touch of academics.
Wow. And it's supposedly to go to academics to be able to upregulate and bolster our children so they can learn.
Only 20%, it says, has to be allocated towards academics.
So the rest of it is ad hoc.
Yep.
They can do what they want to do with it.
Yep.
And so you have a small vocal group that's taken a huge amount of money and deciding what they want to get done with it. And if it meets their agenda, it moves into, you know, destruction as far as I'm concerned, relative to, you know, I've been in practice over 44 years and I've treated every type of condition that you can possibly think of from a natural platform, you know, without drugs, without surgery, using nutraceuticals, using acupuncture, using, you know, a lot of things. And, you know, we send out for DNA testing because we have to know what predispositions are. But at the end of the day, a man who's born a man genetically has a very specific expression relative to his DNA pattern. A woman who's born a woman has a very specific expression. And just because you're going to take testosterone injections and estrogen injections and so forth to try to shift, and then you may go into, you know, what they call vaginal reconstruction, the guy wants to take it to that level, it doesn't mean that he's gotten rid of that underlying DNA or she's gotten rid of that underlying DNA. It still exists, and you have to treat these people as if they are. So all we're dealing with at this point is a psychological impact. Gayness, right. Lesbianism, and so forth has been there since the beginning of time. Understandable. We know what that's all about. But in this situation, it's bringing problems to a platform that we've never had to deal with. Example, just recently in Loudoun County, you had a problem with a young boy who decided that he was going to be female. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So unfortunately, we've had two incidences in less than a year's time. The first incident happened back and towards the end of this past school year in May, and a freshman was sexually assaulted in the bathroom by a boy wearing a skirt. And a memo went out, and let me rewind a little bit. When this was approached, and it basically came to fruition because we've also had a second assault recently happen within the past couple of weeks by the same boy.
By the same boy
at a different school. So basically,
a transgender boy who says he's a girl goes into a girl's bathroom, locker room, assaults a girl. They take him out. They put him into another school. They don't do anything about it. And now he assaults somebody else.
Well, they did do something about it. They arrested the dad for speaking up at the school board meeting because he was being baited there by another individual who basically was saying he was lying, that his daughter was raped. So they did do something. Yeah. If you want to say they did. So instead of keeping this kid at home and having him, you know, I get if he's got to have an education, so be it. But, you know, Loudoun does have a virtual program. They could have kept him at home. No, what they did is they allowed the student to be re-enrolled at another high school less than a mile away from the first assault. And it happened again. This time it wasn't in a bathroom. He forced a girl actually into an empty classroom and raped her. Okay.
You know, back in the day when I was growing up, this kid would be minimally in juvie at this point.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, so let's just look at that one example. All right. You've got a system here where you've got administrators burying the facts, not doing anything, not protecting its students, not doing the right thing. And that's pretty much as simple as it comes down to, is them doing the right thing. No, what they're doing is they're putting a student who clearly has issues into an environment where he's going to create the same situation. And now you have boys and girls alike across the county afraid to be at school. They don't think they're safe. You've got boys, your oldest grandson, beyond angry that this happened to two girls around his age, you know, athletic teams saying, this is not right. You don't treat people this way. You've got students making more sense than the administrators out here. That tells you what's happening.
How do these people go brain dead? What's behind all of this? Do you have any insight? I know, and we're going to talk about it as we go through. You've reacted in a very strong, formidable, proactive way. You and another person have created an organization called Army of Parents.
Correct.
And you're known. You've been quoted on Fox News and other networks, and you know, you're in place. But what's behind this, Aaron? What started this? What do you know about this? That what's the agenda? Let's go from that platform.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, the agenda here is basically, how do we reprogram these kids? This is no longer, school is no longer about sending kids in to learn. Sending kids to school is really about the indoctrination of our children, getting them to basically turn against their parents, get them to look at each other and have determinations based on the color of their skin at this point. And when you have leaders, I mean, we teach our kids from a very small age the difference between good touch, bad touch. We teach our children, if you are in trouble, you go to a trusted adult, you find a school resource officer, you find somebody to help. That is failing our children. Those standards, those teachings no longer exist.
There's no safety net anymore.
There's not. Because now when these incidences do happen, they get buried instead of being addressed. And the last I checked, a sexual assault was still a crime.
Across the board. I mean, we look at it, but we're putting it back. There was a time in this country when an adult raped somebody, and we're going back a lot of years, it was such a high egregious criminal offense that there was capital punishment involved with it. And now you're looking at such a shift.
Yeah.
These young kids are so confused. They don't know who they are. They're being manipulated to the point.
You know, it's very interesting because, you know, over these past 20 months, you've seen a shift in just general children behavior. I mean, I'm friends with a lot of teachers and, you know, I hear like the third graders, they are struggling terribly because they haven't been in the classroom since kindergarten. They don't know how to act. They don't know how to engage with each other. They don't know how to basically function at a third grade level. Okay, so let's fast forward to your high school kids who now have hormones and all the normal emotions that you're supposed to have in high school. Now that's compiled with, wait a second, you're telling me if I go into the bathroom, there's going to be somebody there that possibly could be of the opposite gender. I'm not going to go to the bathroom anymore. I mean, you've got that situation. These kids don't know which way is up. And over the past 20 months with the fight between the CRT, these policy changes, we've had, unfortunately, suicides of our kids. We've had a school board that doesn't even acknowledge that it's happening. We've got a school board that decides it's going to target members of the community because we're getting vocal, because we're saying this is not right. Our kids are mentally suffering here. You are putting basically all of our family values out. It doesn't matter anymore because you are now also saying that they, meaning the teachers or the school, is the head parent for your child. All your job is to do is to basically socialize your kid.
Did that happen in, you know, pre-World War II Germany as the Nazis came in and Russia as the communist regime came in, that they took kids away, they put them into schools, you know, so the parents could be free to work for the conglomerate and so forth. And that's what we're seeing now. It's the same thing. We're manipulating young minds to think in a certain place. And this is going to be generational to the point where there's such a trigger for insurrection to bring it back to normalcy. This is ludicrousy. This is crazy.
The good thing is, because of what has transpired here in Loudoun County with all the different groups kind of tackling the county and waking each other up, you're now seeing this trickle out into other states across the country, which is a great thing. But again, that brings us back to the fact that now parents, which every time I say this, it makes me, we are a domestic terrorist, apparently, because we want to have a voice in our kids' education. So apparently fighting for education, fighting for special education, we're a threat to do so now.
You know, this is, you know, when you and your brother were in school, we weren't hands off. We knew what you were being taught. We asked you questions at the dinner table. What did you learn today that you didn't know yesterday? And it could have been anything, an observation, whatever. It started. There's a memory that I have, and I'm sure you remember it, when I think you were a senior in high school and you were taking U.S. government. Mm-hmm. And you came home one night and I said, you know, what did you learn today? And you said that your government teacher played Braveheart. And I said, Braveheart? What was that all about? And you couldn't answer. So I started asking you questions on government structure in the United States and so forth. And you really didn't have a handle on it. And I said, what is this man teaching you? So after I was convinced that there was a problem here, and what you didn't know is I went behind the scenes and talked to a few teachers afterwards, but I took you and you and I went on a field trip and we went downtown, you know, to the Capitol, and I pulled some big favors and we went through the House of Representatives, we went through the Senate, we went through the Supreme Court, and then ultimately we ended up going through the West Wing at the White House. And I, you know, obviously a lot of parents can't do that, but I was outraged that, you know, that you were not learning the structure of the government. Today, you know, you're formidable. I'll sit down with you and you can take me through what happens with a bill, goes out of committee and so forth. But kids aren't being taught that. They're not understanding the history, the pivotal points of this country. They're not being taught how to think through systems. Aaron, you've made a huge impact across the board on this, and you and a friend of yours have started an organization that is becoming quite significant. It's called Army of Parents. Tell us about that a little bit.
So Alicia, my co-founder, and I, we've known each other since this fight began 20 months ago. And at one point I had a social media group called LCPS Can Do Better. And that was the push to move schools and get them open. Well, as all of this has unrolled and we've had sister groups kind of pop up and tackle the school with all these other policies and changes that are happening, it occurred to me that we needed to create a platform or a resource where it connected group heads from across the Commonwealth. It gave parents a place to go. It's even gone outside the state of Virginia. We now have members who are, you know, from up and down the East Coast, the West Coast, that have basically connected with us. And what we've done with help of others is we've helped to create opt-outs for critical race theory, the transgender teaching, the SEL, which is what you get at the elementary level. That's the social emotional learning or the gentle phases of the critical race theory. We've helped to create resources for parents and families alike who don't want this in their kids' education. And the problem is, even though these opt-outs have been helped and created by attorneys, they're being denied. And so they're being sent back to us. So we're still fighting that. But at the end of the day, you know, our mission is to continue to fight the ever-changing battle that's happening within our school systems and about taking back and giving parents parental rights again.
You have become a very vocal and powerful force as a group and as an individual. You've been very successful right now in eliminating one of the more irritating board members in Loudoun County to the point where basically you were going to impeach this board member, but didn't have to go to trial with it. And she actually stepped down recently. Right. What happened? What was that all about? And, you know, why was she the target of your interest?
So, you know, it was interesting. One of our sister organizations stepped up and they spearheaded that movement. And, you know, that movement started because she decided to go after parents. She was part of a group on social media where basically they decided that they were going to create a witch hunt, if you will, on parents, on conservative businesses who did not believe in the critical race theory. I mean, literally, they were making plans on ways to attack our businesses, expose our kids, harass parents and families. They exposed addresses of where our families lived.
Unbelievable.
I don't know how I didn't get on that list. I was actually really surprised because people kept asking me, Aaron, are you on the list? Didn't make it on the list. Don't want to be on the list. But unfortunately, my co-founder, she was on the list, along with a lot of my other friends. And so that's really how all this started. People said, enough. Now you're coming after our livelihoods. You're basically making a witch hunt out of us and you're trying to boycott our businesses and ruin our lives. Well, she was hands-on involved with that movement. So they took up the torch and they went after her and they started collecting the signatures. And because we're in the state of Virginia and things are complicated here, you have to have 10% of the voting signatures within the district of your school board member. And then from there, you've got to get the attorney, you got to take it to a judge. I mean, it's a whole process here in Virginia. It's not like you just collect the signatures and you do a recall. And I think what happened is as the heat of the county and this cover up of the two sexual assaults have happened, and we got the we got her removed from the court case. There was really nothing left for her to stand on. So honestly, the smart move for her was to resign because everything was going to come to a head. Now, when WOTOP did the FOIA request to get the letter showing that the school board and the superintendents knew about the cover-ups, She put out an interesting post that basically was like, you know, I told you this was happening. No one listened. Some of us feel, and again, it's just a thought, but we almost feel like it was, if I'm going down, you all are going to go down with me type of thing. But I will say that, you know, the organization that spearheaded that, the Fight for Schools movement, they're not done. They are still going after these other school board members, which they need to. It almost seems like just this crazy world that we don't wake up from. I can't believe that I literally live and my kids go to a school where the school board members are the ones who are, you know, essentially taking a hit list out on concerned parents. It's unbelievable to me to even see this unfolding before my eyes. And these are grown adults. These are grown adults.
Aaron, state of Virginia has a critical, critical election coming up in 2 weeks.
They do.
And it's one that could shift the face of Virginia for years to come. And it's the lines and the divisions and the, you know, have never been clearer. You have the Republicans and you have the Democrats. You have a Democrat running for office that's saying that no parent should have any input whatsoever in how a child receives education, what they're taught in the educational system, and how they're directed and handled. And not only that, that it's also been said that they should be able to determine the direction of interest that they think that the child should have professionally, vocationally, moving forward. And on the other side, you have the Republican platform that's basically saying, hey, listen, you know, parents are the initial educators with children. They should be kept informed. We need to listen to what they have to input. This is huge. This is black and white. And it's dividing things. You know, where do you stand on this? What's going on?
So with that issue, I mean, that takes you right back to what's happening and the reason why you have this huge influx of critical race theory into our schools. So with all these surveys, so the critical race theory has literally been buried into every area of academics. Okay. So it's a little bit here, it's a little bit there. These kids are giving surveys where it goes in and it's collecting data on your child, on you, the parent, and it goes into a nice little database. So ultimately at the time of employment, it basically shows if your child has been taught and can see things more equitable and ultimately will influence if they can get a job with companies. That's happening. That also ties into the fact that if we keep parents out of the picture, we can make this happen. I'm sorry, but you know, first and foremost, wow. If I'm a SPED parent, I'm definitely not going to step aside and not be involved in my child's education. I need to know that services are being provided. I need to know that the education's being done. I need to know that they're running goals, that they're helping my child learn because there's a deficit there. But that doesn't even mean that doesn't apply to your normal parent who's not having to deal with special education. Every parent has a right to know what an individual is teaching and showing their child. Because if it goes against your core beliefs, it's wrong. And last I checked, having your family's individual core beliefs was part of also what was making us an American in this country. We are allowed to raise our children and our families any way we see fit. And you know,
the three critical pieces of any family is simply this: it's God, family, and country. And we seem to have that being dismantled in front of our eyes completely. Aaron, if people wanted to get a hold of you and get involved in Army of Parents, particularly in Virginia, but also outside of Virginia, because this is not just isolated to us here in Virginia, it's impactful across the country 100%. How can they get a hold of you? How can they become involved in Army of Parents? How can they input and become proactive if they wanted to be?
So currently we are on Facebook. It's easy. It's RB Appearance. And we are also on Twitter. Our website is under construction. And as soon as we have that up, we're going to be posting the link on all of our social media sites. That would be the easiest way to connect with us. Also, you're going to see, get involved. Get involved with your local school boards. That's kind of like the best advice that I can tell parents is if you want to know what's going on, go to a school board meeting. Talk to other parents that are there. You will find connections and be able to get involved that way. And like I said, because we are working with so many different heads across the Commonwealth, they can connect in that way. And we're funneling information to those heads and vice versa.
You know, this is so important. And I want our audience to really understand that this is not just about critical race theory. This is about our children having the tools to soar. We said earlier in the program that, you know, life's not fair. Well, it's fair to the extent that if you have the tools to move forward and achieve and dream and create and, you know, take what it is that you have opportunities to take, not because you happen to be born a different nationality or religion, a color or an economic group and so forth. Basics, teach our children across the board, 100%, every one of them, the basic skill sets, but understand that life is competitive, whether it's on a football field, it's on a tennis court, whether it's on a baseball field or any other sport or in the job market or in life. There's always going to be these 7.5 billion people we have on the planet. There's always going to be somebody who's got a little bit of an edge, and they're going to be acknowledged, whether it's a socialized government, whether it's a communist government, whether it's a capitalistic government. As you bubble through, there's always somebody has control. So you have to be prepared for that. And you have to understand that if you don't have the tools, if you're not encouraged, if you're not supported, the basis of equity in education starts early, not later, not just because you happen to be, from a different culture, a different country, different economic, that you should have parity moving forward into higher. No, start at the beginning, make sure they have it, encourage the basic principles of achievement, if you will, and then move that forward. So Army of Parents, and they can find you that way. Yep. Your webpage is being constructed and so forth. But right now we have kids that are in depression. We have kids who are committing suicide. We have children who are being accosted sexually in school. And these things are being set aside, or they're not being addressed properly. And we have to take an action as a group of people. What can I say as a father? I'm proud of you. I wouldn't have suspected anything less, as far as that type of involvement from you. And I appreciate you taking the time. I know that you're busy both with your practice and also your involvement on the state level, your formal in your ability to present this information, but you're also formidable, if you will, in taking the action. And I really appreciate it. I want our viewers to know that they can pick this up, our Ageless Health podcasts on Ageless Health. Go to drtomroselle.com. It's real simple. It's drtomroselle.com, drtomroselle.com. You'll find it there. You'll find links to this and everything else. And we want to remind you, we're going to continue bringing you pieces of information that has to do with your health. We're talking about our children's mental health today, but as adults, our mental health as well. Aaron, again, thanks. I appreciate you taking the time. And, I want to remind our viewers that we do this program for one reason and one reason only, is that we love you all. See you next episode.